be quite short. Welcome to the 7 Miles Podcast, Coffee Science Guru, with myself, Adam Carr, the scientist, Joyen Guru, and Josh, the coffee. The barista. Yeah. This is the 7 Miles Podcast dedicated to discussion around all things coffee. And today, I think for this episode one, the first episode, we wanted to talk about coffee, specifically espresso. So 7 Miles is an Australian-based roastery, specifically on the northern beaches in New South Wales. And the Australian coffee market has evolved really into being one that primarily drinks espresso-based beverages. And I think it's probably appropriate for us to start this podcast off talking about espresso.
Cool.
So I think first off, I'll ask Joyen. Joyen, espresso.
Yes, espresso. I think perhaps we should take a look at the word itself. Ooh, because it's an Italian word and not generally known that from the Italian point of view, espresso means something expressly for you. In other words, made to your individual requirement.
So if someone says espresso, are you upset?
I am rather excited. Okay. Indeed, yes, I visualize a train rushing through the station with clouds of steam. And clouds of steam, of course, does come into it to a degree, as we know. But other variations of the word suggest, on the one part, pressure, and on the other hand, speed. Combining all those three things together, it is quite possible to imagine that an espresso coffee today is produced in all those ways.
So if, does an espresso coffee then necessarily have to have a crema?
Well, the opinions are many and varied, and it certainly was a time, I would say, probably between the 1980s and around about 2010, when as much crema as you could possibly manage to extract and finish up with on the top of a small cup of espresso coffee was a good thing. And real espresso coffee didn't, frankly, come into being until the pump variations of espresso machines overtook the huge pressurized boiler, which of course inevitably produced coffee at over boiling point and made the drink very unpalatable.
Right. So
since then, and I was only in a cafe not supplied by us in Neutral Bay the other day with my family, I asked for a long black and out it came, and it had virtually no crema on it at all. And I must admit the coffee itself was delicious. I've had to take a bit of a rain check.
It's not essential. Yeah, it's an interesting one with a crema on coffee. So just for those who don't know, I'd be surprised. But at the same time, if those who don't know, crema is effectively a concentration of... Well, it's an emulsion is what it is. It's an emulsion of gas bubbles, generally CO2 and some of the volatile components of espresso that's been dispersed through actual coffee medium. A lot of people think that it's just fats, but actually it's quite representative of the rest of the coffee itself.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the first genuine espresso machine was produced not until about 1947. The first ones having been made around about the turn of the century by Bezzera and his engineers Gaggia and La Pavoni. But the coffee that was produced by Gaggia in 1947 suddenly resulted, of course, in this extraordinary thing sitting on top, which nobody understood. And in fact, it was quite frightening to many drinkers of coffee because it was
like a skull.
Foreign to their taste.
Yeah.
And it was immediately christened La Shkurma, which, of course, is a derivation or was derived in English from that very word meaning scum.
Oh, really? Okay, there you go. Good guess.
Too good, Adam, I would say.
Yeah, maybe I knew about that before.
So it was a long time, I think, before it, people came round to the idea that it was actually perhaps quite a good thing. Although the Italians, of course, were in the habit of putting sugar into coffee to take the bitterness away, and they've continued to do that ever since.
Yes,
so they get a very sweetened beverage as a result.
Yeah, right. So we're talking about, that's the background about espresso. I've talked a little bit about some of, well, I wouldn't say very, we've touched very, very lightly on the chemistry. But Josh, espresso.
Yes. So espresso, as defined to me when I first started learning how to make coffee, was 25 to 30 mils of liquid in 25 to 30 seconds, extracted at 9 bars of pressure, and that was it.
So that was tight definition.
Yeah, if you were doing that, then you were doing espresso. This was back in the day, all of maybe 4 or 5, or no, a bit longer, 6 or 8 years ago, where the double ristretto was the default choice for milk-based coffees.
So there's two different definitions. A ristretto, so you would call that shot a ristretto.
Yeah, so yeah.
Well, that was the definition at the time of espresso, which we would now consider a ristretto.
Yeah, I mean, it's the argument that you find a lot. How do you define coffee in milliliters when it has crema? Do you wait till the black liquid is up to the point in the measuring cup, or do you count the crema?
That's why we always measure things in mass in engineering.
Yeah, so
volume is a bit.
So yeah, if you want to up your coffee game, get some little pocket scales.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so in a small coffee, you do an extra short ristretto coffee, so you'd only catch that first. Sort of 15 grams, but still in like 25 seconds. And then for a double shot for a large coffee, you'd get the full sort of 60 grams out.
Yeah, right.
But then it'd take you.
So do you think so?
It's not 60 grams, 60 mils, maybe, depending.
Just thinking in that time frame, I mean, how espresso has changed. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got taken a long-term view of how espresso has changed since the 40s to a thing that was indeed palatable. Do you think that over the last 6 years that coffee has gotten better, espresso, I mean, how has it changed? I mean, you've already said it's getting a little bit longer.
I would say, perhaps paradoxically, that in terms of palatable espresso coffee, coffee that is actually enjoyable to drink, that in terms of volume, less is more. Going back not so very far, you know, you would think that as much as you could possibly pull out of the ground coffee itself was probably a good thing. But in fact, we've learned that the longer you extract it, the more bitter it becomes, because the heavier bitter oils, which are also present in coffee, tend to mask the finer flavors that you get from the first 10, 15 seconds of any extraction.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when you think about that. I mean, it's the relationship between mass time in an espresso shot is actually quite an interesting thing. I mean, letting a coffee run long, say 47 seconds, when you see the coffee's dripping out slowly, you're looking at mass in a certain amount of time, I think, is that balance that we really need to do. I mean, you know, espresso, like any kind of coffee, is brewing. The longer water takes to flow through, arguably the more concentrated it is. But again, that depends on the temperature as well. It's quite complex. I think where we've ended up today with espresso, I think we've actually learnt a bit more, at least I'm going to say, I want to use the term organoleptically. But taste-wise, I mean, we've certainly learned a lot how to vary taste profiles in espresso by modifying that temperature, time and mass out.
Yeah, I think it's not hard to, at least in a city, Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane, to get a pretty broad spectrum.
Is the word.
Too much coffee today, or not enough. A spectrum of different types of espresso, so you can get those sort of more chocolatey, more full-bodied, intense, restricted extractions that suit milk coffees and have a lot of body and a lot of crema, and then to get the sort of more arguably contemporary longer brews that maybe are a bit lighter or a bit more dilute from a single origin coffee or something. So you're kind of spoiled for choice currently, whether the industry is going to go towards one direction or if it's going to stay
the band.
Are they still around?
I don't know.
Or
still friends.
You know, taste is subjective at the end of the day, so I don't think we can empirically point out that one is better than the other if someone's enjoying both. So
yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, just because one person likes it, you know, extremely thin and dilute, and the other person likes it, you know, incredibly tight and concentrated, if those are opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, that's the difficulty, of course. You ask 100 people their opinions on coffee and you get 100 different opinions, which is somewhat different in my experience to tea. Tea, to most people, is unchallenging, almost boring, and unfortunately these days devolves mostly in the presence of a tea bag. But coffee has you know, migrated into an entirely different sphere. So, you know, a single opinion is not something that you can actually write a book about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those challenges I found being a scientist coming in here. It's like, why can't you all agree on a single answer? Had to go back to statistics, and even then it depends how you ask the question. So it's, you know, it's a good industry to be a part of. And I think that's actually one of the things is, you know, it's really, we're in a pretty nice position here at 7 Miles. You know, I think that's sort of a, don't want to say a pervading opinion that's come through, but we have a number of different blends that sort of suit all those sort of taste characteristics. Yeah. And I think it's important to do that. I think, you know, still producing a very dark, well, I'd say dark by modern standards, a very dark roast to suit sort of the Italian flavor profile, the Turkish flavor profile. Not that we're necessarily generalizing people based on country of origin, but in truth, certain people like those darker flavors more. And in fact, a lot of Australians, we drink a lot of our coffees. I think it was 88 to 90% of Australians drink coffee with milk in it. And that's both at home with instant coffee and out at the cafe. And we definitely see that.
Yeah, well, instant coffee is still the most drunk coffee.
Mm.
Not even the Nespresso side, the freeze-dried instant coffee. Mm. It's like a 4-to-1 ratio of instant coffee to cafe-made.
Yeah.
Which is pretty insane.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of the things, don't judge people just because they drink freeze-dried coffee.
No, that's certainly true because, you know, in Australia, even with the Greek and Italian backgrounds in coffee, which hit the Australian public after the war, even then, I'm told most of the coffee that was served actually had milk in it.
Mm.
So the Greeks and Italians had to modify their own experiences to cope with the Australian public, who are very accustomed to drinking milk in all sorts of different forms.
Yeah, yep. Dairy.
Indeed. So supporting the industry, etc.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, support the farmers, buy a cap.
Yeah, that's right.
Get a flat white.
Yeah, that's right. Don't put the double shot in it. Get two caps.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Drink more. Yeah. Okay. Well. I think we're wrap it up there, I think. So,
yeah, cool.
Thank you very much for listening. If you want to, if you have any questions about this podcast, anything brought up in this podcast, any comments, anything or any questions you would like answered, feel free to email us at podcast@7miles.com.au. That's seven spelt the way it's normally done in the dictionary. S-E-V-E-N and M-I-L-E-S.
Yeah, or come say hi at the espresso window, 7:30 to 11:30 in the morning. I'll be there.
Yep. I generally pop my head in.
You can buy a cap.
And somewhere in the background, you might even find me.
Right. Feel free to ask for Julian. He'll come on out and say hi and take you through and show you what he does.
Yeah.
And any other follow-up questions or any, if you want to do some further reading, we have a blog also available on our editorial at 7miles.com.au. That
correct.
Website. So from that, I am your scientist, Adam. And our guru, Julian.
And I am Josh, the coffee.
The coffee, the barista. The coffee barista. The coffee. Signing out. Bye.
Thanks, bye.